Hello and welcome to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein, the man running my soundboard, if you can call it a soundboard, called me Sousa because I completely forgot that I changed my intro song until I heard it. And it's like, oh yeah, that's right, I did that. It just seemed like something more appropriate to what we're talking about. So yes, I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. I haven't been here since May. It's nice to be back. My email is commonlaw7b@gmail.com if you want to send me a question. In the last show, we finally had somebody who had a question, but again, I don't understand why if you don't have a simple question, you know, shoot me an email and let me answer it on air for you. Welcome to summer. It took a long time to get here. And I actually left town for a couple of weeks, starting Father's Day, to go down and help my daughter relocate in Orem, Utah. And then I went directly from there to run the middle fork of the Salmon River. And then I came home to, I don't know, 3,000 emails. The last 2 weeks, I've been completely buried. So I'm not as prepared as I would like to be today. Believe it or not, I actually sit down and take quite a bit more time than I did today to put it together, but it's just been insane. So I'm sorry if I'm a little bit disjointed, and we may have to cover some past topics. So if you're a regular listener, I'm sorry for boring you, and I really promise to do better next month. But before I move on, if you've never run the middle fork of the Salmon River, you just need to put it on the list of things to get done. I'm from Sandpoint and kind of like ho-hum, whatever. I live in a beautiful place. But that was truly amazing. And we went with a local company called my Middle Fork River Tours. And I think the most work you had to do is you had to break down your tent and roll up your Therm-a-Rest in the morning. And you'd get up, they'd make you breakfast, and they had this giant boat that would take off and it wouldn't stop until it got to the next campsite. And then one guy would get out and he'd set up all your stuff. And so you'd raft and they'd stop and they'd make you lunch and then you raft some more and maybe go for a hike or whatever. And then you get there and all your stuff is set up. It was just really, really cool. And so it takes a long time to do it too. So if you haven't ever done it, I highly recommend it. I mean, it was truly epic. And it was, I think, probably the first time since cell phones have been invented that I could have made a phone call if I wanted to. They do take one satellite phone with them in case of emergency, but other than that, you're completely cut off, which it reminded me why I do like to work in the mornings when I'm on vacation, because then vacation is not ruined by the next 2 weeks. Before I forget, just because they don't paint no parking, red or yellow on the corners in our town, stop parking there. People do it all over South Sandpoint. When I was riding my bike here today, some motorhome is parked in front of a stop sign. Some person who was not from here was just cruising the other way and didn't realize there was a stop sign on Euclid and there was almost a bad accident. The city has chosen not to pay to paint those things because there's an ordinance that tells you how far back you have to park. But people ignore it constantly. And granted, maybe I'm wishful thinking to think people in South Sandpoint might start following the stop signs, or as I like to call them, the stop suggestions, or just slow down. And my personal favorite is when they stop and then they don't look and then they go. We're coming up on our first break. Before we go, I'm really excited. I finally got my air conditioning hooked up in my house today, just in the nick of time. So I hope you all are finding a way to stay cool. You've got a big lake and lots of streams around you, and, you know, go down there and lay down in those things for quite a while and let your core temp come down, and that will help immensely. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. This is Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein, and we'll be right back after this break.
Worry no more. Amos Lee. Oh, worry no more. Live in concert. It's an open door. August 10th at the Fox Theater, Spokane. With special guest, Danielle Ponder. Buy tickets now at 624-1200 or foxtheaterspokane.org. New album, Dreamland, available now. Amos Lee, presented by Fox.
Grunberg Sloss Collector's Cabinet has added ReadyWise Survival and Emergency Foods to their line of food and storage supplies. They also feature preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, plus ammo and knives. And, of course, Grunberg Sloss carries U.S. and world coins, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5, located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Sloss Collector's Cabinet.
Hi, this is Brian Ivey, Service Manager at Pierce Auto Center in beautiful Sagal, Idaho. Summer's here. To keep you and your vehicle cool, we'll be offering AC services for $129 plus Freon, cooling system flush for $169. To keep you driving straight on those summer road trips, we have front end alignment starting at $79.95. Remember, our certified master techs are trained to work on all makes and models, including Toyota and Subaru. Call today to schedule an appointment. Pierce Auto Center.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Idaho summers may be hot, but they should not be trashy. When you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, riding, or fishing, remember to pack out all your garbage. Few recreation areas have trash service, and the campfire ring is not a dumpster. Your trash is your responsibility. With record numbers of recreationists expected in Idaho this year, we all have to do our part to keep our state clean. Idaho is too great to trash. For more on responsible recreation, visit recreate.idaho.gov.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein, and I really appreciate that we continued that song because it is a good song. And I think it's, you know, particularly relevant right now. It doesn't sing about big government or small government or one man or anything else. It's about the United States. And you can really love the country without having to hate people who have different political views than you do. It's possible because it's gone on for a really long time. And granted, there was a whole lot of hatred in the past, too. But they didn't have the internet and they didn't have, you know, the news channels to spew it out there for them and spread it all over. Anyway, on that happy note, I told this joke, but I got to tell it again. What's the difference between a hamster and a cigarette? They're both harmless till you put them in your mouth and light them on fire. Yeah, it's terrible, I know, but that's the only reason I can remember it. Anyway, since we're on fun subjects, let's move on to these hearings. I haven't had a chance to talk to you since we watched all these hearings. I think there were 6 or 8. I can't remember. I didn't see them all. I'm lazy. I just relied on the late night host to give me the highlights of what I needed to see. Before we get to them, though, let's talk about Steve Bannon. You know, finally, one of these jokers is getting what is coming to him. And I don't say that just because I think he's a scumbag and a big threat to democracy and pretty much evil incarnate, Antichrist on earth. No, I say that because I like the legal process. And I don't care who you are. Anybody who's hit with a lawful subpoena, there's a whole set of procedures that the court provides. If you get drugged to court or somebody wants some documents, there's a whole set of procedures that the law provides for you to fight that. Where you can go in and say, no, I don't have to comply for this for whatever reason. But once that decision is made, you have to comply, period. Any one of you out there that pulled what these people have been pulling, that Bannon's finally answering for would have been in jail until you complied. That's how civil contempt works. You may remember when they threw, I don't remember what her name is, but one of Clinton's people, when Starr was investigating, they tossed her in jail until she talked. And I haven't verified the story, but I'm pretty sure there was some millionaire who wouldn't tell a court in a divorce case where a bunch of money was, and he sat in jail until he did for a number of years. So for any one of these people to snub their nose at a lawful subpoena, that cannot be allowed to happen. And I don't care what you think or what you believe, that can't be allowed to happen. Because once that happens, then our legal system is pretty much done. Because without the ability for us to develop information to figure out what people are doing, we can't do our job. And the prosecutors can't do their job. Nobody can do their job without the ability to force compliance with lawful subpoenas and court orders. And folks, if our legal system collapses, or if this nonsense keeps up with these people getting away with it and us looking like we don't have any teeth in our legal system, well, what's next is your economy. Because the pillars of our economy are our legal system and our military. I mean, granted, you got to have education, everything else. But the reason people put their money here is because they can count on not a perfect system, but one of the best in the world. And they can also count on that we can keep people from running over us and destroying our stock markets and all these things. So again, I don't care what you think about what Bannon is guilty of or not. He's guilty of not complying with a subpoena, and that is not okay. It's not okay for anybody. And I don't know why they haven't prosecuted a bunch of these other people, but I think now they, maybe they're waiting to see if Bannon gets a couple years in jail for this. I don't know why they didn't charge him with civil contempt. They could have, and just tossed him in jail and shut him up until he decided to comply with the subpoena. I mean, I think shutting him up would be a great idea. But anyway, back to the hearings. I don't know if you watched him or not. If you didn't watch him, then I'm curious as to why. Maybe you think all this was made up. But I've said it before, I'll say it again. You know, who's in on this conspiracy now? Pretty much everybody. Pretty much every single, these people are his family. It's Bill Barr. So they're all in on it now too. That's the only way you can escape the conclusion of what went on there. He knew, everybody around him knew, that the election was not stolen. I mean, his own cyber guy told him, no, it was not stolen. His own attorney general said there's no basis for any of this. And what did he do? He kept saying it and saying it and saying it. And I don't know why that's legal. I mean, you can't have a public figure claiming election fraud if there's no proof. It's no different than yelling fire in a crowded theater when there's not a fire. And that is illegal. You can't do that. You know, free speech doesn't extend that far. And this is not political speech. This is talking about a process, a physical process of voting. So that's not political speech. That is an assertion of fact that is not true. And just like yelling fire in a crowded theater, it leads to violence, apparently. And one of the most interesting things I thought I saw during the hearing, it was a lot like what I thought the most interesting thing in the second impeachment, I think it was. Maybe it was the first. I don't know. But when Mitch McConnell was laying out the ground rules for the Chief Justice of the United States, who's the presiding judge over the hearing, I mean, he tried to do that in a federal courtroom. You will quickly find yourself in handcuffs being escorted to jail to go to think about it for a while. But in this one, the most interesting thing was this super conservative judge whose name escapes me, but he's renowned as like super, super conservative, and he talked really slow. I don't remember if you watched it. It was kind of painful. But what he said was that President Trump is a clear and present danger. You know, I haven't even said that. I think that could get you investigated. Because clear and present danger is a doctrine that pretty much says, we can do what we need to do. So, I don't need to translate it for you, but when he said that, I was like, whoa, you know, obviously he's not thinking that way, but it's just not something you say out loud. As much as I think Trump is the most worthless human on the planet, I'd never say that. So anyway, but again, I just, if you didn't watch them, then there is stuff online that highlights the stuff that they brought up, you know. And if you didn't watch them, maybe you didn't catch that Trump actually called, tried to talk to one of the witnesses that was going to testify the next day. If you do that in a criminal case or a civil case, and in a criminal case, if you're the one being prosecuted and you're trying to talk to witnesses, you know, generally you're going to get hit with a new charge. So I don't know what they're investigating in the DOJ. I hope they can put something together and just make him a deal and say, here's the old deal we used to do, the bus ticket deal. Get on a bus, get out of this country, and stay out of our business, and you can have your freedom. But the man is just disgusting. There's no other way to say it. And again, I won't say that you're being stupid if you think if you really still think the election's stolen, then go online and look at this stuff. I mean, and then ask yourself, well, is every single person that supported him in on the conspiracy to make sure he wasn't elected? I mean, is that logical? So I will say that if you still think this election was stolen, I'm not going to call you unintelligent in your everyday life. I'm going to say on this issue, you're being really gullible and you really need to pump the brakes and ask yourself, why do I think that? I'm trying to think. There was one other thing about those hearings that I thought was pretty fast. I thought they were very well done. They did hire like a TV producer, which to their credit was a really good idea. But I don't know. I can't emphasize it enough. I just wish that people would watch him. That was my idea to, you know, how do you change the narrative for some of these people? Because they're not going to switch the news channel they're watching. And so maybe I told this idea on the air, but my idea was like create this website where it's kind of like a lottery or bingo, but you have to sit there and read things, you know, facts that are backed up by citation and, you know, and then have equal time for anybody who wants to be there, but they have to be side by side. But until there's some way to get these people, I mean, when the people I talk to who watch the hearings who still support Trump, they're like, well, those are all lies. And I'm like, why do you think that? You know, I mean, but they don't have any answer. You know, and they're the same people to say, let's go Brandon and F Biden, which, you know, you're going, is that about as creative as you can get? I did say on the last show, I asked a good friend of mine, you know, what moves has Biden made that you don't like? Well, he's old. Okay, well, as long as we're clear, it's just ageism, which is a thing. Then I think that's, you know, that's your answer. But, you know, everybody is just so completely over the top one way or the other that nobody actually sits down and asks people why they think things. And that's, you know, kind of what I'm trying to do. Why do you think what you do? And granted, all of us are relying on information that we don't personally know. We didn't develop it, so we don't know it. We're relying on what other people tell us. So you're going to have to apply basically some critical thinking to what you hear. And say, you know, that's what they said, but does that seem plausible? What seems more plausible? That's what you should be asking yourself. Anyway, I think we're coming up to our next break. Thanks for listening to me rant on. I think I actually have some helpful tips after tip. Oh, geez, Louise, I hope they can bleep that out. Tips after the break. I just had to get that off my chest, but I don't get to do the show for a couple of months. It all builds up. Anyway, it's Common Law 7B. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. Thank you for listening, and we will be right back.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonners Ferry.
Welcome back to the Jim Fan Club Podcast. We're thrilled today because Jim is headed to the Idaho Lottery's big spin event. So excited.
Well, yeah, we've been cheering Jim on for years. So getting that first win on the big spin scratch ticket, then to see him get past the digital wheel all the way to the big spin, I mean, wow.
Yeah, well, whatever happens, Jim has already won at least 50 grand and could win up to $100,000.
Huge.
And Jim, good luck tonight. Win big money. And don't forget, this show still needs a sponsor. Benefiting Idaho Public Schools and Buildings. Must be 18 or older. Play wise.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
According to weather forecasters, we'd better get used to hot, dry summers. With another one on the way, it's time to think about your private timberland. Is it ready to withstand a forest fire? Whether you've lived here a while or are new to the area, the Idaho Forest Group helps people with 10 or more acres of timberland protect their valuable investment from the ravages of wildfire. Our foresters are experienced in assessing how vulnerable your timber is and coming up with a viable plan. There's no obligation, and a site visit is free. Aside from wildfires, our foresters can also help plan against wind damage, bugs, disease, and all manner of environmental threats. And if selective thinning is recommended, you could choose to sell any merchantable trees. Wildfires will happen in our area. Is your investment protected? If you own 10 or more acres of timberland, call Idaho Forest Group and schedule a site visit. Our experienced foresters will give you a thorough analysis of how to help prevent wildfire damage. Visit ifg.com.
97.1 FM, 1450 KBFI, and 1400 KSPT.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. I hope you're staying cool out there. I know I am. Because the radio station needs to talk to an HVAC guy about zones. I always bring a jacket, even though it's 90 degrees outside. It's plenty cool in here, but keeps me awake, keeps me moving. And one other thing, before I move on to anything, you know, productive you might put to real application in your life, Stanford Law started a course about electric cars quite a few years ago. You know, self-driving vehicles. Because if you think about it, we've got a whole body of law that talks about, when you're driving and there's a wreck, whose fault is it and all that. And, oh, one other thing. I always forget this one. Everybody grew up thinking, I think, that if there's an accident and a yield sign and you don't have the yield, you're 60% at fault. No, if you just need to pay attention. You can, have somebody run a stop sign and you can still be the one who's actually at fault, depending on how everything goes down. But anyway, so we have a whole body of law about car wrecks. Well, then what happens when you don't have a driver? Is it a software company issue? Or, what if you have a driver, but then you also have a computer? And, most of these cars, when they're working right, these self-driving cars react a whole lot faster than people. And so what I'm going to use is, see, that's a little bit of a law topic. So I'm going to tie it into, eventually, we're going to have some kind of law on how to deal with the aliens that are obviously around here. I mean, and I know that sounds kooky, but it's not kooky because the federal government has admitted it. I mean, just flat out said, this is what happened. I've said this before on the show, and to me, it was the most amazing. I woke up in the morning and I saw this headline. I'm like, oh my God, and nobody cared. Nobody cared. They don't give a rip. which to me is weird. But the point is, if you need to watch a show, look it up. I don't know what it's on, Netflix maybe. It's called Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. Some of it's, you know, a little, well, I don't know, hokey? Not really. But I mean, why wouldn't, you know, a lot of it makes sense. But some of the stuff that they have, the footage that they have, is pretty amazing. And I think you should all just tune in and give it a watch. It's entertaining, if nothing else. I haven't quite gotten around to trying to talk to the aliens yet, you know, but it's on the list. I'm going to wait until later August when I don't have to stay up so late for it to be dark. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about wills. I've talked a lot in this program about trusts, but I've never really talked about wills. And wills are actually one of the things that people feel really comfortable doing on LegalZoom. And I've looked at LegalZoom, and they have some pretty decent instructions. And as near as I can tell, most people read those instructions about like I read instructions, which is I don't. And I just do what I'm ever going to do. So I think having a little bit of knowledge about wills and, you know, how they work and all that, it'd be a good idea. And I think you all know what a will is. A will is a written document that's executed that basically directs how somebody's stuff, you know, their personal and real property, their wealth, is to be distributed when they pass away. The will will also, generally, it doesn't have to, but it will generally appoint somebody to be the personal representative of the estate. And what a personal representative is, basically they can step into the shoes of the person who passed away. So, you know, dead people can't sign deeds to give the property to their daughter, but the personal representative can. One of the big misconceptions in estate law by my clients is that somehow there's an advantage to being the personal representative. And there's really not. It's more of a pain than anything else. You can compensate yourself for it, but that's, you know, a good way to get in a fight with everybody else. The one time it can create an advantage is like if you have one sibling who is the personal representative and the parent, for example, who died, just gives the property equal shares, third to third to third. Well, that basically gives the PR carte blanche to do what they want with the property, meaning that if they want the waterfront property and they're going to give you the farm, well, there's not a lot you can do about that. So if those types of things concern you, you need to be careful if you just do a will that says a third, a third, a third. And if you know, a way to avoid that, a really good way to avoid your kids getting in a fight is to appoint somebody you trust to be the personal representative. And they can't really get mad at each other for a decision that the PR makes. Well, they can. You know, they always go the route of, well, you should have just said, no, give it to me. But it, you know, it helps. And so that is, you know, what a will is. Disposes of your stuff and tells the court who you want to be the one to get that actually accomplished. Now, generally, written wills, like you all think you know about, you know, they're a typewritten document and they have what we call some formalities. And formalities are things that are different when you execute something. They're in addition to just signing it. It's like if you're going to do a marriage settlement, meaning a prenuptial agreement, antenuptial agreement, divorce settlement, anything, you have to sign it and have it acknowledged in the same way that you sign and acknowledge a deed in front of a notary public. And if you have any agreement and it's not like that, it is absolutely unenforceable. It doesn't matter how much proof of it you have. You can have the person literally in court saying, yep, that's what I agreed to, but I didn't sign it. So I am not following it. And the wills are the same way. If you don't follow the formalities, then your will is basically toilet paper. So, you know, and one of the formalities are generally the person who's executing the will, the testator or testatrix, as we call them, or just, I just say the person executing the will because it's easier to understand, they have to initial each page and they have to sign. And then you have two witnesses, and the two witnesses have to sign, and all of it has to be done and acknowledged in front of a notary public. So, you know, and if you don't do that, well, you don't have a will. Now, another really common mistake is that one of the witnesses to the will is also taking under the will, meaning they're getting something in the document that they're witnessing, and that's not allowed. I've never had to get into whether or not the lack of, you know, if that happens, is the whole will invalid? I would imagine that it is, but you know, that question right there is where your kids and your people who you want to get your stuff are going to give about 25 or 30 grand to somebody like me. So it's just best to avoid that and make sure whoever is witnessing, you know, your lawyer will know all this, but it's best to avoid that and make sure the witnesses are not taking under the will. Another thing is you need to make sure that any will you do expressly revokes any prior wills. It's another big mistake. People don't put that in these homemade wills, and that just creates another huge, expensive legal mess. I won't get into why. It's not, just don't do it. Just make sure if you're going to do a will, you know, if you're going to amend or what we call do a codicil to existing will, you know, just if you're talking about anything substantial, just go see an attorney. I mean, I won't tell you to come see me unless you're a veteran, because I'll do them for free. But it's just easier if you're going to get complicated at all. What's the other big one we see is people thinking that if you do one of these very formal wills, like, you know, the witnesses, it's all typewritten and all that, everybody thinking, well, if I get mad at somebody, I can go into that thing and I can scratch their name out as getting the house. Well, you can do that. That is actually effective to, you know, revoke that portion of your will. What you can't do, and what everybody always tries to do, is then handwrite in what they do want to have happen. And that is ineffective. So what will happen is when you revoke the gift to the one person, that falls into what we call the residuary clause of your will. And the residuary clause is where you have ineffectively given things away. Or if, for example, somebody doesn't want your $100 million, then it just falls back into the residuary clause. And, you know, your will have a provision that says what happens with what is in the residuary. I was reading a note here and I lost it. I said you can't, you know, handwrite in your existing will, but here's something that you can do in Idaho. It's not the same in every state, but you can do a thing, what we call a holographic will. And this is what I have people do. If somebody calls me and says, look, my wife and I are getting on a plane, we have two kids and all this stuff, and we don't have a will, we haven't got her done, what do we do? And, you know, if it's usually the day before or something fun like that, and I just say, here's what you do. You sit down and you write out, you know, you say, this is my last will and testament, all in your own hand. It cannot be in anybody else's handwriting. No part of the document can be in anybody else's handwriting. It has to be entirely in yours. You say this last, you don't even have to say last will and testament. You say, upon my death, here's how I want my estate to go. You know, this person gets this house. My sister is guardian and conservator of my kids. I give their share to her in trust for their benefit until they're, some people say 18, I'm going to go 30 so they don't blow it right away. And then I say, okay, now that you get that all handwritten out, I usually just say, take a scan of it and send it to me so I can make sure it's got what you need. And then put the original in the mail to, or actually put the original in your fireproof safe. Because then I can take that scan and I can turn it into, you know, a formal will when they get back. But if something happens before they get back, they have a will. And so that's another thing you can do. But remember, it has to be entirely in your own hand. And I think I got about a minute and a half before break. And so I'll tell you a quick story of why I tell people to do that. I had these two brothers that lived on the farm off of now Bunco. Well, it's Bunco Road at the time too, but obviously it's a little more valuable. And I think it was 15 acres and there were 15 kids, and they went out and their mother wanted me to come see them. And so I went and met with her and I sat down and I took all her information for what she wanted to have happen. The two boys were supposed to get the farm, you know, 'cause they were the only ones that had ever, you know, been around, taking care of her and whatever. I had none of my business why. Anyway, so, you know, I take it back with me. It's just my notes. And so it's nothing other than just my notes. And they call me about 2 weeks later. And I had, you know, I was done with it. And I was just getting ready to say, you know, I can come down. Oh, mom had a heart attack. She's in the hospital. And I'm like, look, they got notaries down there. I can print this thing and be down there in 15 minutes. no, she's going to be fine. Well, you know what happened. So the two brothers ended up splitting this estate with their other 13 siblings, and, you know, their mother's wishes were not fulfilled. So if you need a will and you don't have time to get a lawyer to write one, you can write it all in your own hand. But remember, it must be in your old hand. We're coming up on break. This is Common Law 7B. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein, and we will be right back after this.
The Hydra on 2nd and Lake is Sandpoint's original steakhouse. Stop in today for breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
All new hours. Kate, the prior GM, and her husband Carson are the new owners, with your favorite lounge and restaurant staff. Now open for breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m. Yep, you heard it right. Now open for breakfast at 8 a.m.
Come on back to the Hydra for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. The Hydra, 2nd and Lake in Sandpoint.
Hey, Patriots! Neil here from Auto Credit Save!
Hey, wait, I thought you were a Broncos fan.
Oh, I am. Go Russell. I'm just being patriotic.
Oh, my bad.
It's time to put the can in American, because this month I can help you drive for just $7 down when you bring me your old ride. It's the 4th of July, all month long, and I want your old ride. So forget Uncle Sam. Uncle Neil will help you find freedom in a nicer, newer car for just $7 down. See, I believe everybody deserves to drive a nicer, newer car. That's why I drafted my For the People credit approval process. Plus, my solution specialists are the American Dream Team. They can get almost anyone approved. So stop driving a car you hate, because I want your old ride. But hurry, this dynamite deal won't last long. I'm Neil, your all-American dealer for the people. See all my explosive rides at autocreditsales.com.
Credit and $7 down requires bank approval. Negative equity may be refinanced. Offer absolutely expires July 31st, 2022.
You know what's explosive?
What's that?
Russell Wilson.
Have you tried the new Fast Lane checkout at the Sandpoint Super One Foods? There's 6 new Fastlane checkout stations, and they are super convenient and super easy to use. Check it out today. And if you're looking for a great job, Super One Foods is hiring with a variety of positions available, with some of them starting at $18 an hour. Apply today at superonefoods.net or simply stop by the store. Super One Foods in Sandpoint.
K102 welcomes country music hitmaker Trace Adkins to Finley Stadium at State Line Speedway. With over 20 hit singles, it's going to be a great night of music with Trace Adkins. Wednesday, August 3rd at Finley Stadium, State Line Speedway. Trace Adkins. Tickets on sale online now at raceidaho.com. Where they gonna be? The ones that like to dance, the ones that like to drink, every homegrown tin, down home pretty, holla on back. Trace Adkins with special guest Rashad. Live at Finley Stadium, State Line Speedway, Wednesday, August 3rd. Sponsored in part by the City of State Line, Idaho.
Keep up to date on everything we're doing at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. Hope, again, you're staying cool out there. Oh, look, there's my daughter, and I didn't silence my cell phone. And I'm trying to figure out how to do that now. There we go. Sorry about that, folks. Anyway, hope you're staying cool. Thanks for listening. I'm glad to be back. It's nice to do something besides my job for the last 2.5 weeks. Anyway, I want to talk about one other thing, because I was on my bike the other day and somebody was yelling at me because I blew through a stop sign. And they weren't trying to cross. They were actually going the same direction I was, but they had to stop. So I think we should know a little bit about bike laws, because it seems to me that nobody does. I think law number one should be, if you don't regularly ride a bike, then don't do it on vacation. You know, practice at home and then you can come do it on vacation. But, you know, get a little practice in before you get here. I'd go to San Francisco and I used to see these tourists riding these bikes on some of these roads just going, you're going to die. I mean, I always find it interesting. You think they can stand still and not pedal and not move, and they're not going to fall over. Anyway, here's some rules for you to know. Bikes are basically defined as vehicles, and they have all the same rights as cars on the road. Bikes are not usually required to occupy a usable bike path. Some local ordinances will require that. And here's what I was wrong on. I always thought, you know, bikes shouldn't be on the sidewalk. Well, bikes, you can ride your bike on the sidewalk, but you have to yield to pedestrians. And I think you all should really take that to heart. I mean, I've almost seen a lot of people getting clobbered by bikes going down First Avenue on the sidewalk way too fast. Okay, another thing that drives me a little crazy is bikers that are riding three abreast in the lane. You can't do that. Now, you can do that if you're going the speed limit. I don't know how many of you crank around town at 25 miles an hour. I know I certainly don't. But it is true that if a bicyclist comes to a stop sign, they don't have to stop unless they would have to stop. Well, they have to stop if they're a car, but they have to yield to other cars. So if they approach a stop sign and there's already a car at a four-way stop, for example, that's there first, well, the biker has to wait and let that car proceed just like any other car would. If there's no other vehicle, it's just a yield sign. And if there's no reason to yield, you just blow right on through. Not the same for red lights. Red lights are treated like stop signs for bikes. So you have to stop at the red light. If it's clear, you can then proceed just like you can at a stoplight. And you're supposed to signal. Nobody ever does that. I'm as guilty as everybody else about doing that. But, you know, just a few rules. Oh, the other one that they actually didn't have in this thing I looked up is if you're on your bike and you're in a crosswalk, you do not have the right of way. You're considered a vehicle and you don't have the right of way. You have to follow all the same rules as you would if you were not in the crosswalk. It's a crosswalk. And if you want to have the right to be in the crosswalk, you need to be walking. So you need to get off your bike and walk it. Otherwise, because I've been yelled at a couple of times with that, where I go and they just run out in front of me and act like I'm doing something wrong. And it's like, no, you're the one breaking the law. Anyway, that's just a little something on bikes. And I don't know if I have enough time. I was going to talk about agency and partnership and why that sounds riveting. I know. But it is actually a topic that I don't know why I haven't covered before, because it gets people in a lot of trouble. It's the idea that agency is the idea that somebody can act for you. And, you know, you can have yourself in a situation, especially if you have a smaller business and you have employees where they look like they should be able to order all that paint. And they do order all that paint. And then you, the owner, the principal, we call you, says, well, I didn't authorize that and I'm not paying for it. Well, yeah, you are. Because if they have what we call apparent authority, well, now you're paying for it. You know, whatever you want to do with your agent, that's between you and the agent. So that's why that's important. Partnership's also important, because people are in all kinds of partnerships out there, but you don't really think of it that way. And a partnership is nothing more than a joint venture to make some money. Once you and any other person decide you're going to do something with the idea to generate a profit, well, now you're in a partnership. And I can't tell you how many people have come in and said, well, no, we're not partners. We were just doing this deal. Well, they were partners. And so because they didn't have, the right paperwork, well, now you have a whole set of statutes that kick in. It's like same as an LLC or a corporation. You know, you can change how these things work. If you don't, well, then you got a whole set of statutes and they're not a very good way to have your business run. I mean, the main thing when we set up an LLC corporation or any joint venture or partnership is to find a way for everybody to get out of it, or one person to get out of it, without having to file a lawsuit to do so. And unless you go see an attorney before you enter into one of these deals, well, that's what you may end up having to do. And there's all kinds of misconceptions about, for LLCs, for example, somebody's like, well, I'm the majority owner and blah, blah, blah. Well, not unless you have a document that says you are, because, that's not how it works. You know, in a corporation, you can buy shares, issue the authorized shares, and that controls that, but not in an LLC. And most people don't know that. And I've seen, you know, the equal management create a lot of problems, you know, and that's another reason why you should see an attorney before you enter into any kind of a partnership, is because, you know, the big thing, and I've probably mentioned this before, I'll mention it again, is you have 50, or your partner has 51% ownership of the company and you have 49%. Well, then your partner then can start paying themselves way too much money, making all the decisions, firing you, and all these other things, unless you have some sort of, what you can easily do, agreement about these certain things. When I tell people if they're going to start a company and it's not 50-50, then you need to have, for example, unanimous agreement on compensation for any one of the shareholders, officers, or directors who's performing services for the company. To avoid that, you need to have unanimous agreement on what the company is allowed to do. You know, we're a painting company. I don't think we should be a contracting company, you know, building houses. We should just stick to what we know, painting. Well, if the majority owner thinks it's a good idea, well, that's what you're doing. So that's why agency and partnership are important. I'm going to talk more about it next time, just because that's just kind of an overview. But I want to take the last little bit, since I've kind of been on a rant today, I might as well just keep it rolling. Downtown traffic. Does anybody out there, anybody, think that what they did with our traffic flow makes any sense at all? I mean, did they hire somebody to make the most dangerous possible situation in our little downtown? Because that's what they did. Traffic engineering is not complicated. It's crosswalks, corners, and two-way streets are bad things, not good things. And everybody I know wants their two-way streets because that was the way it was back in the day. But they're not good and they take up a lot of extra parking. But I'm not suggesting we go back to three huge lanes through our downtown one way. I'm saying maybe one idea might be starting at church and going north. That'd be one lane, one way, all through that area down there. And that would open up parking vertical, you know, on, or not quite perpendicular, but on both sides of the street instead of just one. And it would also eliminate this traffic jam that occurs every single day when somebody is coming south on First and somebody wants to turn, who's going north on First, wants to turn left on Church, and they can't. And then the people behind them build up. And then the people on Bridge Street can't go, and that builds up. I mean, these are just simple things, but I don't understand why people are not down telling the city council this needs to be fixed. Obviously, this year's not the year to do it, but they need to have some sort of a plan to address it because it's dangerous. I mean, the other really dangerous thing is that light there at the Chevron, you know, where you're heading west. Forever and ever, that was always the center lane was straight or left turn. And then the right lane was always just right turn only. Well, they switched it back. They switched it when they did the whatever you call it, whatever that is that they imposed upon us. And they create basically a jam up at that light. When you have 9 people out of 10 that want to go right and the one person in front wants to go straight. And so then they back up and then they leave a gap between, you know, they, if they're thinking they don't block the intersection of 4th and Cedar, but maybe they do. And then you got bikes coming through there. You got cars trying to sneak through there. I mean, it's just insanity. And so I've actually gotten, you know, in contact with the city and they've said, nope, that's the Department of Transportation's light. We can't tell them what to do. And the Department of Transportation says, nope, that's the city's idea. I mean, it's just like do you walk to work or do you carry a lunch? I mean, and it's just completely ludicrous. And P.S., if it was the Department of Transportation's idea, that is not okay. Anyway, thank you for listening. I will have a lot more productive stuff for everyday life in my next show. Hopefully, I'll be a little more caught up in things. Enjoy the remainder of your week and the remainder of July, and we will see you next month on Common Law. This is Arthur Beislein, Common Law number 7, letter B at gmail.com.